Tonight, Munda is sharing on the topic of how to deal with things not going your way. Munda is the coordinator of the Global Retreat Centre in Oxfordshire. It's our Brother Brahma Kumari's main retreat centre in this country. She is also responsible for activities in the north and south of England. And I think the thing about Munda is that she explores spirituality for everyday living and using. If it's not helpful, why bother with it, I guess, is the approach I've seen Munda explore. Tonight, we're inviting her to share what it means when things are going wrong, and do you give up or do you fight? Do you hope, cope, or mope, pretty much?
A bit of everything sometimes.
So I'm going to hand over to Munda in just a moment. After her talk, Munda will do a short meditation, and then after that she will be answering any questions you put to us through the question and answer link. I look forward to putting those questions on your behalf to Munda. Munda, over to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Aarti. Thank you very much. Hello, everyone. And well, I understand that I'm not going to be seeing your beautiful faces. I hope that we've had a chance to meet at some point, because I know I've been to Inner Space talks a long time back, but I have been there a few times. So I just want to pause. I know that you've all joined, and I suspect you've come from all sorts of places, possibly doing different things, whether it's chores at home, looking after children, or office at home, or outside, or whatever. But I just want to stop for a couple of moments. And I know that it's very easy when we are online to be multitasking. I hope that you can give some concentrated time, not because I'm talking, more so that you can give focused attention to yourself, because I know I can also be very good at multitasking when something is on, listening to something and doing something else at the same time. It's a very tempting thing to do, but I know that I'm compromising my own self when I'm doing that. So I hope that you can just sit quietly and just become present wherever you are. And just breathe. Notice your breath. And notice its effect as you become quiet and still, really. Almost as if your breath slows down. And your energy changes. And you find yourself deeper inside your own self. Silent, quiet, and held in the deepest, the softest, and the most gentle state of being. Thank you. Om Shanti. Those of you who are not familiar with Om Shanti, it's a greeting of peace. Om, I am, Shanti, peace. Now, we often get asked the question, What is the aim of your practice of meditation? And I would say our practice is Om Shanti, and our ultimate goal and aim is also Om Shanti. It is only when you practice something that you can become that at the end. And why I think it's important to acknowledge that here and right now is because, in a sense, the topic that we are exploring, how to deal with things that are not going your way, when that is happening, when there is a sense that, in a sense, things are imploding upon you, then you have to be able to sit quietly. You have to be able to separate yourself from that and your own self, inside your own self. And I can't say, I'm not necessarily the authority on this subject, because never so easy, right? But I suppose for me, the last 2.5 years, which is a long time, has really been a practice of letting go of this idea of having things your way. And I think I have a sneaky suspicion that Aarti asked me to speak on this because a few weeks ago I was at our London center, and I was sharing from the stage that the last 2.5 years have been big, big tests, if you like. And some learnings that happened, which I hadn't shared, but I had shared one particular learning, which I will share with you about, and why the 2.5 years have been such a difficult time is because I was living in our retreat center, as Aarti mentioned, in the Global Retreat Center, south of Oxford. It's an 18th century Palladian villa, beautiful spot, and I'd been living there for 25 years. And then we had to vacate the building because it needed all its plumbing changing, its wiring changing, and literally it was going to become a building site. So we had to get out. So anyway, all of that happened very, very quickly. So there wasn't really the time to process what was going on. So in one sense, it's, you know, when I share with you all of the things that happened and my own response to all of that, it's not to blame anyone. It's not to say that somebody did something wrong or anything like that, but it was just, it was trying to, you know, trying to make sense of it. And sometimes, you know, things happen and you can't even make sense of the things that are happening around you. It's just, there is no rhyme and no reason except that it's happening. And it was a little bit like that. We had to move out, 70 bedrooms. Had been living there for 25 years. We were a staff of about 30 people, not really staff, but volunteers, 30 people. And everybody kind of found their way as to where to go and what to do and all of this. And some of them were still, some of us were still around looking for a place for some people to stay. While we had all been in one community until now, we became split into 3 or 4 different households and trying to keep the households together. That was all one side of things, and then another side of things was actually the whole refurbishment side of things itself. The powers or those who were working on the project decided that we had to hire a professional team, and that those of us who had been there, living there, perhaps, you know, we don't get involved in that side of thing, which was also a bit strange, because we'd gathered 25 years of experience and yet no input from any of us. So all of this, so you can imagine. Right. And I'm now living in a different place, wondering how to be able to contribute in the best way possible. So all of this was going on. And so this is what I was really referring to when I said that 2.5 years had been big tests. So yeah, I actually went through different phases of hoping and moping and all of these different adjectives that Aarti used. I went through the phase of all of that. But yet then along the way, realizing amazing learnings that have happened. And even though I say amazing learnings have happened, I wouldn't necessarily say that I've become proficient at those learnings either. I'm still on the journey of learning those things. One of which was that the most important thing when things are going completely haywire is that I need to make sure that I stay in a space of calmness and kindness to my own self. And what I mean by that is that if there is frustration, if there is anger, or when there is frustration, when there is anger, when there is upset, I'm the one who is suffering. And situations are occurring as they are. And from that place of upset, that place of being left out, from that place of being rejected, I myself, I'm not being kind to my own self. And therefore, I'm not gathering positive energy within my own self. What I'm really doing is I'm becoming very frail, and I'm becoming a victim of situations and circumstances outside of me. So, so I think the first thing is to be able to just very simply separate that which is happening outside of me and how I feel inside of me. You know, from my spiritual journey, I've learned that what it is that makes me feel upset or hurt about things not going my way is that my internal state of being still relies on what's happening outside of me. When that dynamic is at play, and to some extent all of us have that dynamic, and I realize how much I had it, because really in my life, even my spiritual life, I've really had the best of the best in terms of everything. And I've been incredibly fortunate to have company of the most amazing people. I've had physical facilities that are the most comfortable. I've had opportunities to learn so many things that I would never have learned had I not been on this spiritual exploration. So what I realized as I went along was that my life was in an incredible sort of a way, even though spiritual, was very much intertwined with this amazing life that I had, in the sense that my internal state of being was very much dependent on all this amazing stuff that I had outside of me. And so when situations go the way they go, and they're not quite the way that I want them to be, that's the time to assess my own self. That's the time where I have to go inside and say, well, okay, can I really be separate from what's happening outside of me and be who I am? Can I drive my consciousness? Can I raise my consciousness to be its highest state, irrespective of what's happening outside of me? And this mindset, this awareness actually is the awareness that is a place of power. And I think that this is also something that we're realizing now with COVID, with lockdowns, where all of our ways of working are changing so much that we're realizing that this is what we have to learn to work with what we've got. Whilst we have all of those external facilities, external situations and circumstances to our preference, to our liking, great. But when they're not, then can I go inside myself? Can I practice being introverted? I'm an extrovert by nature. And so for me, talking to people and, you know, engage in activity comes so naturally. Yet I also do have an attraction to introversion, a pull to introversion. But if there's something that's going to pull me outside, I'm there. So all of these things, I just saw it was taking me inside myself. When Aarti asked me, what do I want to do in my spare time? What I really want to do in my spare time nowadays is just sit quietly, stare at the ceiling, and just be okay with the fact that I can be free and not feel compelled to action and interaction and talking and absorbing information. So this is the first thing that I realize, that I have to be calm, separate myself from what's going on outside of me. The second aspect that became very useful for me was just acceptance, and on the basis of acceptance, surrender in the sense that the situation is what it is. So many factors have come together to make that happen. And you know, when I think that something should go in the way that I want it to go, it's not, well, there can be the selfish motives because I know best and nobody else knows as much as I do. That can be that. And then obviously, then we're very, that mindset is being driven by my own ego. And that's kind of quite helpless. But let's say that it's not even being driven from a place of ego. Let's say in my situation, I was in that place for 25 years. I knew every corner of that building. I knew what worked and what didn't work and what could be better. I knew all of that. And yet here I was being told, we don't want to hear anything from you. Stay out, basically. We don't need you. We want professionals to be doing this. And yet here was an opportunity to improve upon something, right? But I wasn't there. I wasn't meant to be involved. And so it could be. So the second type of wanting things your way was because I know I can contribute something meaningful to this. But yet my contribution is not required for whatever reason. So I accept that my contribution is not required right now and make peace with it. Surrender. When you let go of control over what you think something should be, imagine the amount of work that have been involved in something like that too. If I had, you know, on the one hand, when the place closed down, it was great for me because I thought, whew, there is some breathing space now. And had I been so fully involved in all of that, I wouldn't have had a breathing space. I would have been so caught up in it. And so I had to surrender, let go. So what I actually did, literally a month after we moved out of the place, was decided that I was going to take 3 or 4 months away. So I went to America, I went to South America, I went to Central America, not just traveling and doing nothing, but actually I wanted to be able to take time for myself. So I let go of the situation, I let them take care of whatever it is that they needed to take care of, and I took 4 months away. I physically wasn't present here for 4 months that first year. And that gave me the opportunity to have space. It gave me the opportunity to have distance. It gave me the opportunity to contribute to supporting others, helping others, service, which is really fundamentally important aspect of a spiritual life. It offered me an opportunity to do a different kind of service in a different culture, in with different group of people. Had I been so caught up in that, I would not have had that opportunity. So surrendering and accepting also helps to be able to take that situation. And then the other thing that is very powerful is that I felt that there is something bigger than myself that is at work here. And so I think that the third thing that's important is to, when you surrender, you actually surrender from that place of understanding that there is a bigger plan. There are the universe, the divine, time, nature, whatever you want to call it, has a bigger plan, and a greater plan, a plan that's even greater than myself. And it's that consciousness that allows you to let go of the control that you have. And that bigger plan, what is more amazing for me, I realized in the process of thinking, is that sometimes when situations occur, they don't necessarily occur because it's the most efficient way of doing things. Or they don't occur necessarily because they're the most viable resources-wise or financially most viable ways of doing things. Because if you try to do things in that way, then those who need to learn their lessons don't learn their lessons. So in order for people to learn things, in order for people's boundaries to be pushed, in order for people to expand their horizons, if you like, things have to happen that push those boundaries. So, you know, when complications or difficulties come, they come because someone, somewhere, and in this case, it could even be me, that physically, intellectually, or in terms of offering solutions, I might know, but I needed to learn different lessons here. I need to learn the lesson of patience. I need to learn the lesson of tolerance. I need to learn the lesson of letting go. And because of that, because I had to learn those lessons, probably in a hard way, I needed, those things needed to happen. And sometimes when things happen in the way that you might think are not most efficient, there might be more finances involved. There might be more resources involved. However, people, there are a lot of people learning a lot of amazing things. You know, Brahma Kumari's work on the basis of, we're all volunteers. None of us are skilled staff at what we do. Really, the amazing thing is that we learn on the job. But I think more importantly, we learn by being silent. We learn by allowing ourselves to be guided. We learn by allowing ourselves to be open. So the learning is happening, you might say, not in an intellectual way. The learning is happening in a more intuitive way. So my learning, my lessons were a different lessons, but there are other people involved in this huge project of renovating an 18th century Palladian villa, who may not, from the BK side, may not necessarily be skilled at what they're doing, but they are giving their life, they are giving their time, they are giving their energy, they are giving their skills, even no matter how compromised their skills might be, but their skills, their ability to contribute have to expand. And so they could only expand if this was happening, if they were allowed to carry on, allowed to get on with what they're doing. So this notion that there is a bigger plan, there are bigger lessons to be learned, is a very powerful thing. And also together with that, there is much greater good that is going to happen through something that I may not right now have an understanding about, or I may not even be able to see that that's what's required. One of the things I learned more recently, maybe a few weeks ago, realizing that actually the seed of human nature, the seed and the basis of spirituality is benevolence. Now, I'm really going to challenge you when I tell you this, for you to think about this. Benevolence is the biggest seed. And it's the seed that infiltrates all aspects of life. Even if at this moment in time, what's happening doesn't feel like it's the right thing. But there's something else that's happening, that's coming as a result of what's happening, that's going to allow something else to happen, something greater to happen. For us, very much the understanding, you know, thinking of time, in the sense that time is, there is a time for everything. There is a time for sowing seeds. There is a time for that seed to germinate when it receives the right water, when it receives the right climate, when it receives care and nurture, that seed germinates. A beautiful tree grows out of it. That tree bears amazing fruit that nourishes and nurtures the souls of mankind. But there comes a time when that tree also becomes old and decayed. But it's that seed, but that tree will have given birth to so many seeds that more trees will emerge from that. And it's, I think that principle is a very powerful principle to consider right now in terms of what's happening in humanity, in the world, what's happening. Let's just take this example of COVID and the lockdown, where so many people are having to reevaluate. Everyone is having to reevaluate their life. And on the one hand, yes, lots of unpleasantness about it. so many people who are not even on a spiritual journey, I'm hearing them say, well, I'm really taking, and it's not that they're economically very, very well off or anything like that. Their lives are simple. But they realize how their lives could be even simpler, and that it's possible to learn to live in the way that actually nourishes our souls. And so, if I can keep in mind, and I have to tell you, and it's something that I use more and more nowadays, and I have to remind myself on a regular basis the nature of benevolence of everything. I'm not there necessarily, but I do remind myself, and it really comes from that place inside me where I think that just see the benevolence of everything. See the benevolence that even if that benevolence is that I've learned patience, even if that benevolence is that I've learned tolerance, even if that benevolence is that I've learned to appreciate introversion that is inside of me, or my attraction to introversion less from being extroverted, and therefore my attention of nurturing my soul, my attention to bringing a higher power and a higher energy within my own self. That was always present in my life, but it not in the way that it still needed to be present. And I'm seeing that the more I begin to be conscious of the deeper secrets, and the secrets that I don't even know that are happening, that are to occur. But those secrets, the secret that I know is that everything is going to be okay. Everything is going to be turned out fine. Providing I keep myself in that place of peace, in that place of benevolence, in that place of kindness, in that place of love. Love as a universal energy. Love as in, you know, if in a one, in a sense, if you ask me to define love, I would say love means to learn to accept everything and everyone for who they are and what they are. This is, in one sense, you might say it's a very simplistic definition. But the love that I am talking about is spiritual love. Love that's not a contract. Often, love becomes a contract between relationships. And it's a contract. We don't even realize that it's become a contract. Love that's not a commodity. Love that is an energy of acceptance, giving and receiving, that's latent within each one of us. But for that, I do need to get to that place where I know that my resource of my well-being, lies inside myself. My resource of my well-being lies in my connection with the divine, in my relationship with God, in my relationship with that constant, unending, unconditional spiritual energy. When I connect with that, then I have a flow of the same happening inside of me. So what I started off right at the beginning, to come back to that, that my internal state of being is what it is because of that connection. because of my own ability to go inside my own self and tap into that resource that also lies within me. So that when things don't go the way I want them to go, in actual fact, probably I won't even get to that place where I will feel things are not going my way, or things shouldn't be happening like this, or shouldn't be happening like that. And, you know, realizing that actually the moment I even think that, something is not going the way, it's like there is some kind of a glitch that's happening inside of me. Can I see everything and just say, that's okay. There is benevolence in that too. Because I'm not taking from that. When I see, you know, those of you who were there at the beginning when Aarti and I were having a little chat and we mentioned Dadi Janki, who was the head of the Brahma Kumaris, you know, she became that at the age of 90 something and passed away when she was 104, just in earlier in the year. We never heard or never saw her utter or see anything critical or say anything critical or negative about anything. Whatever was happening, she would always say, that's okay. This is good. There is benefit in that. And I saw even turn things around. If something was happening and we might, as an observer, think, well, this is not right, I have observed her turning it around and actually making it positive. So for me to say that something is not going my way, I think I need to change my own vision towards that. That whatever is happening, can I even not get to all these factors that I spoke about already? It's a journey that I went through. I didn't get to that place straight away where I could say, it's okay, no, things is going, and whatever is happening, it's fine, and I don't mind. I didn't do that. But I can see now that as my consciousness elevates, as I can remain more and more connected within my own self and stay in that place of abundance, of spiritual energy, of love, of benevolence, which is greater than feeding my own ego, then I can see the possibility that it's fine, it's okay. There is benefit in that too. So for me, the last 2.5 years have really been about that. And really this realization of benefit, if you like, benevolence, has just occurred a few months ago. And I could reel off personally all the benefits that have occurred for me. And there's something else right now that I'm dealing with. And I know there is benefit in it. I know that it feels difficult. It feels even painful at times, but I know that the best thing is going to come out of it. So I'll stop here and let's just do a few minutes of meditation together. Just become quiet and perhaps reflecting on some of the things. What would be the key element that you might take away with you from this? A learning, a benevolence, acceptance. There is a bigger plan, a higher plan. When I think about that plan, I don't know it, but I know that there is benefit in that. And it's as if I release and relinquish my hold on that situation. The situation doesn't hold me. I hold it. And as I let go, there is a sense of peace, a sense of power, a feeling that what is more important, what is my bigger contribution to the situation, is my good wishes, my trust. I trust. In fact, I make an offering of trust to that situation. And my vibration and energy of good wishes and trust will allow it to unfold in the best way possible, instead of criticism and negativity. Because ultimately, I don't know everything. I'm not the encyclopedia of all situations of solutions to life. So I surrender. And my heart opens to allow that higher and spiritual energy of the divine to enter. Not only my own heart, but that situation too. Thank you.
Thank you, Mandy. That was really lovely. Questions are, I'm sure people are just now picking up and sending in their questions. So I'm going to start with this thing of patience and trust. And how do you access those in yourself when things are going wrong and you're in the mope sector? How do you how do you reach in and pull out that patience or that trust?
You know, ultimately, whether it's patience or trust, they have to become a way of life for us, in the sense that I know that for my own self, again, patience hasn't always been my strong point. But I'm realizing that these two go together. Patience and trust. Actually, if I trust, then I will be able to be patient and wait for a positive outcome of anything to come. So I think that patience has to be cultivated through having trust, and that let me wait. Let me give when I, and patience, not just as something you pull out from somewhere. I think patience, you are willing to wait for something when you've made a contribution of positivity, when you've made a contribution of your best, when you've made a contribution of good wishes and good feelings, then you know that your good feelings, the contribution of your good feelings, has brought other people's good feelings into that situation too. And that ultimately, there's got to be a result from that. And wait with good feelings, wait with peace, wait with belief, and wait with trust.
Mm. Wow. And so the questions that are coming through now, thick and thin, I think. So the next question is, you talked about having had some amazing experiences in life, amazing opportunities. But what if you've had a run of really bad luck or bad, you were handed a bad hand in life and nothing or very little has gone right in your life for you?
I think that two things that comes to my mind. It's true I had that, but you know, in the last little while, it's not that I'm feeling that I've had a bad hand, but there is a feeling of a sense, if you like, of I've got to make something else happen. And what I'm realizing, even in that situation, instead of fighting that situation or fighting a state of being in which you think that things are not working out, it's just saying, okay, this is what I have right now. How can I go keep on creating positive feelings inside my own self, but actually physically go and do positive things, good things. From my side, let me contribute in a positive way to other people's life, whether it's through my thoughts, through my feelings, through my, you can sit and mope or you can sit and, you know, make a list of all the things that haven't worked out for you. Or you can also sit and make a list of things that have worked for you as well. And these are the times when you have to reach into gratitude and appreciation. You know, if nothing else, if you've got a roof over your head, if nothing else, if you can, when I can eat, you know, we can either hope for 5-course meal or just a meal. It's a question of changing my vision at times too. And when I can change my vision, I think I can change my reality too. And in some ways, I'm already working with that. Physically, I might be okay, but internally, this feeling that can come over sometimes, something's not working for me right now. I've just got to say, in fact, even today, I was thinking, okay, I've just got to go into any time I have that feeling, I've got to go into that feeling. And it's okay, but can I spend time in love inside my own self and create stillness, create focus, create power?
Thank you. To what extent do you think there is a time and place for expressing anger when things are going badly?
I think there, I would change the word anger into being heard. So I think that there are times when you can feel frustrated, but anger doesn't help. It just fuels the fire. But what if I can say, okay, here's something that I feel very passionate about. Can I come to a place of calmness inside myself and express with clarity what it is that I am feeling? So I think there is always time to express, but not with bad feelings, and therefore not with necessarily with anger. Because when you can be calm and be clear about what you're expressing, then the what you're trying to communicate will also be heard. And you will find a solution your own self before you look for solution from someone else. And, you know, if things are going bad, who are you going to get angry with? If it's things, who are you going to get angry with? You'll get angry with probably the wrong people in the wrong place in the wrong way. And you kind of invite more of the same to yourself when you do that. So I think in order not to invite more of the same, I think I have to create a different energy. I have to create the opposite energy. I have to create the energy of calmness. I have to create the energy of clarity, and I have to create the energy of that clear expression.
Okay, good. This naturally goes into the next question. I have a situation where my family have said some really hurtful things to me, and we haven't spoken for nearly a year. I want to make amends, but know they may reject my approach. How should I approach whilst protecting myself?
It's a really good question. You know what I would do to begin with? I would create in my mind, if you're a meditator particularly, I would create in my mind this incredibly positive feeling towards the family. So don't let go of the feeling. They said this and they said the other, they said the other. Hold in your heart your most highest intention for coming together, for sharing, and for sharing love. And in meditation, especially create positive feelings, good feelings towards them. And know that those good feelings are going to reach them. Because, you know, when you think about them, and then you are thinking about something specific, and you're thinking about some people, it's not possible that those good vibrations don't reach them. So it one thing is preparing the ground, as we say, by creating positive feelings towards them. And secondly, when you create those positive feelings towards them, your own feelings change. So when you are then, and when you reach out to them, reach out with absolute trust and feeling that they hear you, and they will hear you, absolute trust. And when you express it in that way, then when you get to them, get in front of them, then you will find that they will be open, because your vibration, your energy will have changed.
Next question. What do you do when things aren't going your way because of an internal reason, not external, but internal? Anxiety, depression, those are the things that are stopping you from.
Yeah, I mean, again, I would say try and get whatever help you need to deal with the anxiety and depression. And sometimes, yes, spiritual things, meditation, all these things help, but sometimes you might need some professional help by whatever counselor or therapy it is that works for you. So I think to get that help, with knowing that you also are going to make your own mind strong through a practice of meditation of some kind, in a very small way to begin with. When your strength builds up, then you can pay greater attention, because ultimately spirituality is very empowering, so it will help you. So I would say that deal with that anxiety and depression first through reaching out in a professional way, first of all, and then make your mind strong so that you can change, you can create positivity, you can create calmness, you can create kindness for yourself.
Thank you. One final question, because we're almost out of time. How do you handle something really fundamental that you aren't able to change, for example, infertility?
This is it's a hard one. It's a hard one, but I hope that what I say to you, you take in the right spirit. Okay. When you know that there is that situation, and you try to do whatever you can, but you haven't been able to be successful at it, there are lots of children in the world that could receive your love. Can you consider the children of the world to be your children and allow your heart to expand and grow so that you can allow that same nurturing and nature to emerge inside of you? And I know the obvious ones are like adopt a child or whatever. There are those solutions, of course. But I think that it might even be that when you change your mindset, you might even change infertility.
Wow, that's a statement to make. Okay. All right. Well, we have to close up. I'm sorry to those of you who've sent questions, but we haven't been able to answer them this evening. We hope you'll be able to put them to other speakers in the future. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to having you join us during the week and next week. Munda, thank you for your openness, sharing your insights that you've collected, and being so trusting with us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Aarti. Thanks, everybody, for joining. Best wishes. Stay safe and lots of love.